For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's going on, Thunder fans? It's your boy Dylan at Thunder Chess, and I'm here to tell you that part of the Believe Podcast Network, we are also partnered with the one, the only, BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments for the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and the fan-favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's really easy to get started. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up and use your promo code BELIEVE, that is capital letters BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunsinger at Thunder Chats. We are part of the Believe Podcast Network, and it's just me today for the Top of Thunder crew. But I'm not alone. I got somebody very important and special to continue our draft coverage this week. So without further ado, joining us today is a man who is a free thinker. If you were to look at his big board, you would see many familiar names and unfamiliar places compared to the consensus. He's a man who battles groupthink and claps back at baseless draft Twitter takes. He is the owner of CrashingHoops.com, an avid Atlanta Hawks fan, and actively campaigning for ESPN to let Rashad Phillips take Mike Schmidt's place. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready to feel the wrath as we welcome at hat Hawks draft nerd, Simon Rath.
What up, man? How's it going?
Hey, man, I'm just excited to, you know, get on here and, you know, talk some draft with you, because like I said, man, like obviously I looked at your big board, you know, whenever I reached out to you, but I've, you know, went back and looked as I was preparing for the pod, and I'm excited to get into it because you got different opinions, and, you know, I appreciate that because, you know, when you get talking draft, everybody kind of has, you know, the same, you know, big three, as everybody's been calling it, and you don't. So I'm excited to get into that. But before we do that, you know, whenever we have a new guest, I always like to kind of ask a few background questions just to, you know, kind of let the listeners kind of, you know, who know who's on the other side of the microphone. So I'm just going to ask you, man, how, you know, your name's at Hawks Draft Nerd. So how'd you become a Hawks fan?
So I actually didn't really watch the Hawks too much until they actually started to do the rebuild. So, I mean, vaguely kind of watch them, but I don't know. I've just always been obsessed with the rebuilding. I've always been obsessed with the draft. So, I mean, that's basically how I got into them.
Okay. I got it. Well, you know, something to ask anybody that comes on for the draft coverage, you know, obviously we're bringing you guys on for a reason to talk about like your talent evaluating. So, you talk about how you actually became a Hawks fan, you know, when it hit the rebuild, because you were so into the draft and talent evaluating. So how did you get into that?
So I've actually always been into the NFL draft.
Okay.
And I think I'm going on like 20 years straight of watching every single pick. So,
man.
I love the draft. So once the Hawks got bad, I just thought I should just get to know the prospects. And that was, so I started in about, I think was the 2019 class.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, after that, I just I've just always been obsessed with the NBA draft.
All right, man. I like it. So that was 2019 class. That was after Trae Young, DeAndre Hunter year, right?
Correct. Yeah, okay. That was 2018.
Gotcha. Okay.
No, 2019 was Hunter and Cam Reddish.
Yeah. My bad.
Yeah.
Just had a brain fart. Okay. So, yeah.
No, that's cool.
That was a good draft to get into because I think at one point, didn't you guys have the Pelicans, they had 5 first-round picks right before the draft, and then they traded with you guys. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. It's coming back to me now.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, that's awesome. So, man, every pick in the NFL draft for 20 years is, like, bonkers.
Oh, dude, I used to go on to a forum called it was called Draft Countdown. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, and I would just stay on that all day long during like school. Just I was just the constantly on that all day. Man, I loved it.
That's crazy, man.
I
watched, you know, day one obviously, and then like after that, like I keep updates on my phone, but mm-hmm. man, that's dedication. Who's your NFL team? Do you have
the Falcons?
Okay, yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah. All right, so are you from the Atlanta area, the Georgia area?
Yep.
All right, it all makes sense. All the dots are connected in my head. So, all right, man. Well, hey, let's talk a little bit of Thunder before we get into the draft. So, you know, I always ask our guests, you know, you've been evaluating prospects for a little bit. Probably not Shea at that point because, you know, as you said, 2019, but last year. You know, we have 4 draft picks, and a lot of Thunder fans really feel like Presti knocked it out of the park. What was your evaluation of our 4 draft picks kind of before the draft, and how do you feel about them now?
So I was not exactly enthused about the Giddy pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked them.
Either.
Yeah. So I liked them, but I was dead set on them getting Book Knight. I thought that was just the lock. And when they didn't, I was just kind of like, you know, like in shock. But he's definitely been so much better than what I could have expected. And the Trey Mann, I loved him. I think I think it was around 15 to like the 20 range.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I love that pick. Range. Yep.
That's fair. And how'd you feel about Jeremiah Robinson Earl? I know Aaron Wiggins, you know, was kind of down the draft board, but, you know, there were some people that had J-Rob lottery grades and late first round.
Yeah, I think I had him in, like, the early second round range. I liked him. I mean, I didn't think he would have some, like, the superstar upside. But, you know, I liked him. I thought that, like, he was going to be a good piece to, like, the build, the width. So yeah, I like them.
Okay. Before we get into the next question, if I was to ask you to just collectively like give Presti's draft last year a grade based on what we've seen this year, what would you give him?
I think probably a, I would think. Yeah.
I like it.
I don't exactly know the argument against that.
Yeah, that's fair. Obviously, you know, there's as good as J-Rob was, everybody's like, well, we could have had Herb Jones there. And, you know, I guess with Giddy, like, you know, Franz ended up being a better player this year anyways. You know, obviously Giddy was injured, but, you know, Franz was the first team all rookie. He theoretically fits better with Shea. So hindsight's 20/20 on that. But I feel like for, you know, the picks that we made, but yeah, we're all feeling really good about last year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, we feel really good about this year's draft as well. You know, as you probably know, we got number 2 in the lottery.
Yes.
Luck finally hit us. You know, before the lottery, I was asking our guests to kind of weigh out our top 8 because that was the farthest we fall. But hey, at 2, that's where we're at. So I'm not just going to ask you to give your top 2. I want to ask, just starting off, to give me your top 5 on your big board.
So my top 5 would be, I would have – the tier 1 would be Jaden Ivey, and I would have Jabari. And then tier 2, it would be Paolo, AJ, and I would have Chet in that tier.
All right. See, I like it just right off the bat, like just 100% different. And we're going to get into that as we go on, I'm sure. But yep. So starting off, you know, Magic, we'll start at the top. They won the lottery. They got the number one pick. You hear a lot of the mainstream media saying that's going to be Jabari. A lot of, like, you know, people around the Orlando area feel like it's going to be Chet. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to really know what's going to happen till draft day. If it was you and you were in charge of Orlando Magic, who would you take at number one?
If I were in charge, I would probably pick Jabari, mm-hmm. or I would pick Jaden Ivey, personally.
Gotcha. Yeah. But you understand. I thought the Ivey thing was coming. There's a lot of Magic fans that, I don't know, they don't feel like they should pass up on the big guys, obviously, but I guess they feel more comfortable with their guards than the rest of the league does.
Yeah, that's like that. Like, so all I've heard is like just everyone says, oh, they got to go the BPA. And my thing is, I don't exactly see any guards that are good enough to stop you from getting Jaden Ivey. Yeah. Like, Cole Anthony, he's good, but, you know, I like him. I like him off the bench. Suggs mm-hmm. can just play there with Ivy. And Fultz is good, but, I mean, he's basically played, like, what, 25 games in the last 2 years?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yep. No,
I
completely agree with you, man. Like, I mean, it's – you know, it's an interesting thought exercise to talk about it, because, like, whenever we was doing, like, lottery sims, like, before the lottery was set, anytime the Magic – it got to the Magic, and really it was after, like, pick two, I would always, like, say, like, yeah, I think Ivy would fit good with the Magic. You know, they got Wendell Carter Jr., they got Franz Wagner, you know, re-sign Mobamba, and, you know, I'm not saying Bamba's your piece for the future, but, I mean, I think you have, like, a group that fits, play Suggs alongside of them, but – yeah, I mean, everybody wants to go big, and, you know, I completely understand. But, you know, going back to the Thunder, you know, let's just say that they take Jabari, because, you know, that seems what everybody's saying.
That's, and, yeah.
Yeah, that's who you said before Jaden Ivey. So, mm-hmm. gets to the Thunder at two. There's been some smoke that, you know, it's already been said that Chet's going to be two. There's been some smoke that the Thunder like Jaden Ivey at two. So, who would you take it to, and why?
So I love the Ivy fit with SGA, okay. or with Josh Giddey, but I don't exactly see how all of them would be there mm-hmm. together. So I would just go with the Chet in that situation.
Yeah, just not have to deal with it.
Yeah.
How do you feel? You know, obviously, in your big board, you got Chet at five, which, you know, still top five. That's not saying you don't like him. I guess, why do you have him lower, I guess, than his peers? And how would you, you know, despite him being lower on your board, how would you like his fit on the Thunder?
So I have him slightly lower, because I think that on defense, I don't exactly see how he would play center.
Mm-hmm.
versus like the top guys. So I don't know. I picture him kind of like in the Jaden McDaniels role, mm-hmm. where he's the kind of a small forward, and then he's the kind of the power forward. So I think that just trying to get a fit with him would be the more difficult than the other four guys.
Okay.
But on the I love it. Like after those top two guys, it's basically just up for the grabs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I would love that fit.
Yeah, I think me personally, like if we take Chet and say we don't get another big man, I'm kind of in the mindset that you would kind of play him at the four position, at least, you know, starting off and, you know, continue to play Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Maybe Favors is still around, like, you know, pair him with a guy that's going to kind of bang inside and let kind of use Chet as a weak side defender. Kind of like we did with Ibaka, you know, back in the day.
Yep. Yes. Yes. I love that call.
Yeah. So that's kind of my, like, I guess my vision on defense. You know, so that's defense. Like, offensively, how do you see him being used with the Thunder?
So on offense, I don't exactly see him being a number, the one or the two option.
Mm-hmm.
So on the Thunder, I mean, that's the fine because they have those two guards. So I think that would be, so I don't exactly see him being a guy you build your team around.
Mm-hmm.
I see him being a guy you build your team with.
Yeah. I got you, man. Yeah. God, I'm trying to think. I just had something in my head and it's kind of, okay. I got it now. So Chet, you know, in like the, you know, pre-draft process and one of the interviews, he said he feels like he could be a 50, 40, 90 guy. Do you think that's possible? Or?
Probably not. I mean, yeah. That's the high upside to get to. I mean, I could see him being like a 50, 38, 84 guy.
Yeah.
Which is still, you know, great. But yeah, yeah, I don't exactly see the 50, 40, 90.
Especially as a bigger player, if you're shooting 38% on like decent attempts, like,
yeah,
definitely. I'll take that. Like yep. Guys like Shea and Giddy need that. So,
Yep.
All right. So, kind of talked about Chet and Jaden Ivey's fit. I want to ask this, and I asked our last guest this, but it feels like national consensus is either Chet and Jabari. You know, there's some intrigue with Ivy, but not a lot of people talk about Paolo Banchero. Why do people keep forgetting about Paolo?
God, I have no idea. So during the March tournament, everyone was talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was saying Paolo, he should go the number one. Paolo should go number one. And then, like, I don't understand how they just stopped doing that. Because I think that Paolo would be a good fit with the Magic too, because they don't exactly have the go-to guy. And I think out of the top five, him and Jaden Ivey would be the only ones who could, I would think, would be the go-to guys. So I don't know. I feel like it's just kind of the prospect fatigue with him, maybe. Yeah.
I got you.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, like, are really concerned about his defense, his motor, and I guess his attitude, but I feel like at this point you're just kind of like fishing for things to pick apart. Like, I think that he has the tools to be a good defender. And I think that hypothetically, if he was to go to OKC, like, Mark Daigneault's shown to be a good coach and like hold your players accountable on playing defense. Mm-hmm. So I feel confident in his ability to be at least an average defender. But yeah, he's a guy. The last time we did a big board, he was my number one prospect, you know. After, like, you know, reviewing film and stuff, I don't know if I still have him there. He's still firmly in my top three. But, I really like Paolo. It just feels like everybody keeps leaving him out of the conversation. So, I guess I feel like I have to defend him at that point.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I just realized that I also left another question there from last time, so my bad. So, hey, let's move to the 12th spot, man. So, as I said, your board's a little bit different, but we do have Clippers pick at pick 12. So I want to ask you, who are some prospects you like there that you think would fall to 12, or you think, you know, we should, I guess, go ahead and reach for at 12, or do you think would just, you know, fit at 12?
My top guy would be Adrian Griffin Jr. Okay. I think that a guy who's like 6'6", I think he's like 220 now, and the lights out, the three-point guy, I think that would fit seamless with OKC.
Yeah, and you have him at number four on your board, right?
Yep, yeah.
Do you think he could fall to 12? You think there's a path to that?
I think I think the draft spot is just the solely on the medicals.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my thing is, so the Shaden did not the play any the college ball, and people got him going like top 2, 3, 4. If AJ didn't play, I think he would be like a lock to go top 4. But because he got, I think he had the knee injury early on.
Yeah.
And then Duke just put him into the smaller role. I think everyone just ignores the high school film, because in the high school, he was a stud. Like, he mm-hmm. was just, I don't know. I think that if, like, he just skipped the college, he would be talked about with, like, the Chet, Jabari. I think that he would be up there.
I got you. Yeah, I mean, hey, if AJ Griffin's there at 12, like, I'm scooping him up. I'm like,
yeah, definitely. Know,
I'm sprinting to the podium, as Tyler Rucker likes to say. So, mm-hmm. I'm right there with you, man. Who's some other guys there that you think could be there at 12?
So, I used to think that Dyson Daniels would fall there.
Yeah.
But now that's just not going to happen. So, I love Dalen, the Terry. I don't think he's the two the far off from Dyson Daniels.
Yeah.
He's a six, I think he's like 6'7", 7 foot, the wingspan, great passer, great defender. Him with the 6'6" SGA and the I think he's 6'8" Giddy.
Yeah.
That would be a fantastic backcourt trio. I don't think the 12 would be the reach for him. So, I mean, I think that should be the target for them.
I got you. Where do you have Terry on your board?
So before I did the update, he was 30, but mm-hmm. now he's in the like 15 to like the 20 range.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, I've heard a lot of draft heads have been really high on. And, like you said, like, he has a lot of similarities in his game to Dyson Daniels. And Dyson Daniels is mm-hmm. a guy that we grew to love in the draft process. And I think Jonathan Givony said that he's getting top 5 buzz now, which is just crazy to me compared to, what it was early in the year. But mm-hmm. A guy I kind of want to ask you about, and I've kind of become enamored with him because I think he's like the – like literally made in a lab for Sam Presti to pick him, is Usman Jang. How do you feel about him as a prospect and his fit with the Thunder?
So I thought about him, but mm-hmm. so the Thunder's goal for the next season is to get the Wemby, right? Like, that's the only goal.
Oh yeah. Right. We would love that.
Yeah. So, how would you guys fit Jang, Chet, and him all in the same lineup? That's my thing. That is why I didn't pick him for that spot, because I don't think you can have the three guys that skinny starting all together.
Okay.
That's fine. I love him. I love him, though.
Yeah, I was kind of trying to convince my co-host the other day. I was like, he's like old Presti, the long athletic defender, and he's like new Presti, like high IQ, basketball skill, mm-hmm. dribble, passion, shoot. And then he's got the NBL pipeline, which, obviously yep. Presti just got Giddy, and he's got the French pipeline, which Théo Maledon, Olivier Sarr, Jalen Horde, like all those people, so. Yeah, it's just like he's literally like the type of player Presti would like. And he's a project. He's young. Like, he's not ready right now, which theoretically helps us get in position for when. But yeah.
True.
Yeah, I hear you with his wiry frame. It leaves a little bit to be desired. Mm-hmm. somebody that a lot of Thunder fans are really obsessed with the idea of getting, and I'm just not on board with. And on your last big board, it didn't seem like you were either, is Jeremy Sochan. How do you feel about him and his fit with OKC?
Yeah, I like him. I love the defense.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, he could be in the Draymond B role,
mm-hmm.
but God, the shooting just scares, yeah. just scares me. Cause he was at like 50 some percent from the free throw line.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The 58. And
it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Right. So, I mean, it's like it is just the shooting that kind of scares me.
Yeah, that's me too. I mean, I get 100% the defense stuff. I get he's big, he's tough, he's long, mm-hmm. he's versatile on defense. But offensively, I just feel like he's a liability to have out there. And, you know, we went our years with having guys like Andre Robertson.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was awesome. Like, I love Dre. Thabo Sefolosha back in the day as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sick of having those guys, man. I want somebody that can, if you're not going to spread the court, at least, you know, do something else that provides space offensively, because as good as Shea has been, he's been doing it with the worst spacing in the NBA, like bottom 2-3 point percentage the past 2 years. And mm-hmm. I just want Shea to have space to roam free, and he doesn't have it right now. And if you add Jeremy Sochan and, you know, start him, you still aren't going to have it. So yeah, that's kind of why I'm against it. And I've asked the past couple guests to try to convince me, and nobody's been able to. So glad to hear you're on my side a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. If I was to ask you, give me just one more guy that you like around that 12 range, and then we'll jump towards the back half of the first round.
I think that Ochai would be the great fit there.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need the ball like ever. So he would be like the perfect, the low usage guy next to those two high usage guys.
Yeah.
And great, the shooter, great defender. So I think that would be the solid fit with them.
All right. I like it. Yeah. I like Ochai's fit. I just question if we would actually draft him just because of his age. And yeah. that's not a knock against him. Like, you know, obviously you need some veteran leadership at some point, but, you know, like I said, we're still, or why you
far
say,
away.
You know, yeah. Like we're still like, you know, looking for Wimby next year. Like we're not ready to bring those kinds of players in, but yeah, like his fit, I agree with you. Like offensively, like his ability to play off ball and be a threat off ball. I mean, he was one of the best shooters in the nation last year. So I'm right there with you, but I just question if he would be a Presti team. Anytime we've done a mock draft, I always end up having him going to Cleveland. And I think that's like a perfect fit for him. But all right, I lied to you before we jump to the end. I'm just going to ask you like three guys. And I just want you to tell me if you think they'll be there at 12 and you can provide context or not. It's up to you. But first guy, Johnny Davis. You think he has a chance to be there at 12?
I do. The small chance, very small chance.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do think he could.
Yeah, I love
and
his.
And I would definitely, nature. Yeah, I would definitely draft him too, at 12.
All right, I like that. Malachi Branham. Not necessarily do you think he's going to be there at 12, but do you think we should? It would be a reach to take him at 12 at that point.
No, I do not like. No, so I got him. I think I have him like 14 right now. So no, I do not like think the 12 spot would be a reach for him.
Gotcha. Do you like his fit alongside Shea and Giddy, or do you feel like it's kind of the same issue with Ivy?
Yeah. So he's 6'5", right? I think he's like 6'5". Mm-hmm. So no, I mean, I don't think he would exactly fit with them unless like they traded SGA, which for some reason, everyone thinks that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I don't. There is, they know the reason to do that. But yeah, for some reason, every team thinks they can just trade for him.
It's really annoying. It's so frustrating.
Like, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
We thought we would be done with it after he signed his max contract extension this past summer, but no, it just kept coming. And it's like, yeah. I guess a lot of people see him on a losing team and he's putting up these numbers. It's like, oh, he has to be unhappy. But if you like listen to Shea, like he's never said anything about being unhappy. Like he's upbeat. He's optimistic. He says he's excited about the future. Like, just leave us alone, man.
I know, right? So I think that it all started from the K trade the last season, where everyone said that they offered SGA and pick six for Cade, which that's fine. I mean, for, you know, the talent of the Cade, yeah, I mean, that isn't, you know, the trade, but there has been so many bad trade offers that, like, I've seen, that I'm just like, all right, it is just so obvious that the people just do not understand how good SGA is.
Oh yeah,
man, and I just don't get it.
It's so annoying, man. There's a meme on Twitter. It's like talking about like the evolution of Shea, like literally every year, and it's like he's underrated, then he starts to perform. And then people say he's overrated. People put him in stupid trade rumors. And it's like, it just circles all the way back around. But we actually had Jake Fisher on the pod last year. We've had him on a couple of times, but we had him on last year to ask him because he was the one that put out the rumor that we offered Shea and six. And he stands by it. Like he stands by, like he trusts his sources. And I'm like, you can trust your sources, but I question your sources' agenda in putting that out there. Yeah, I think that was more of a leverage play, but, you know, we won't get into that. But, all right, man, kind of moving into the back end of the draft, we have picks 30 and 34. Who are some guys in that late round range that you think could fall to us or you think would fit well or somebody we should take a swing on?
So the Thunder, they need the shooting bad.
Yes.
So I love the Keon Ellis fit there. Hmm. And I would love Max Christie.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people that, like, you know, they're so quick to circle the Caleb Houston because he pulled out. It's believed he has a promise. Thunder gives promises. Like, he's the guy. But Max Christie also pulled out of the combine, you know, didn't participate in drills. And, like, he's, you know, he projects to be a better shooter. Why couldn't the Thunder have promised him?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. So I really like Crispy. We haven't heard a lot of people talk about. You said Justin Lewis, right?
No, I said the Keon Ellis.
Keon Ellis. God, my bad. Yeah, we haven't heard a lot of people talk about him. But you care to kind of give us just an elevator's pitch on him and why he'd be good for Thunder?
Yeah. So he started off at the JUCO, I believe, and then for the 2 years he's been at Bama. And I would probably argue he's the best guard defender in this class.
Okay.
And he's 6'6", I believe. And he shot, I have it up here. He shot about 38% from the three the 2 years, which is exactly what the Thunder need.
All right, I'm with it. Best guard defender, you think he's better than a guy like Dyson Daniels?
So I think the Daniels can guard up better.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it's just against the point guards, then yeah, I would pick Ellis.
The guys with like the deep bag and the super quick first step.
Yeah,
I got you. Makes sense. Jalen Williams, that's a guy that's kind of just dominated the combine. There's no shot he's there at 30, right?
No.
Okay. No. Yeah, I just got to ask, you know, it's still a pipe dream of mine to get him. So
yeah.
All right, man. Well, let me ask you this. This is something I asked all our guests, you know, using all of our picks, 2, 12, 30, and 34. If I was to ask you to just to give a fun, like ideal player combination, who would it be?
So I think at 2 would be Chet.
Okay.
12, I will give you the different name. I would pick, I like the Kendall Brown fit next to Chet.
Okay.
And the second rounders, or 30, I would do Max Christie. And then, was it 34 you said?
Mm-hmm.
I would probably pick the Keon Ellis.
All right. Talk a little bit about Kendall Brown, because, you know, everybody's so quick to talk about Jeremy Sochan. And Kendall Brown was, like, really high up there on the boards early in the year. Mm-hmm. But what's he give differently that Sochan doesn't?
So Kendall fit into the small role at Baylor. Mm-hmm. And I like how he never complained about it, never took the plays off, even though he got like 4 shots a game, some games.
Yeah.
Elite athleticism, great defender. And so people didn't get up, like they pissed off that Isaac Okoro went 5th.
Yeah.
And Kendall is just the 6'8 guy, like the 6'8, the version of Isaac Okoro to me.
All right. I got you.
Or 6'9, I think he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, because I think in your latest mock draft, you had, if I'm not mistaken, you had Chet, Jalen Duren, and Bryce McGowan's. I'm intrigued by that player combination, mainly because you got Chet and Jalen Duren right next to each other. How do you feel like they will play together?
I love it. So, like I said earlier, I do not see the Chet battling down low mm-hmm. too often. And that's basically what Duren would be there for. So gotcha. I would love that. I would love that combo.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of Thunder fans that are like, I mean, I like Duren as a prospect. I question if he might not be there at 12, but I there's obviously a possibility. I think it'd be really interesting to see Chet and Duren, you know, kind of be our first couple picks, especially with, you know, Wemby kind of being the target next year. But hey,
that's true.
Hey, you know, I wouldn't be mad. Like, you know, we have a phrase on Top of Thunder, it's trust DePresti. We did not trust DePresti mm-hmm. last year. We were throwing things and throwing fits about Josh Giddey at pick 6. And, you know, it turned out to be a good pick. So we're going to trust DePresti no matter what he does. Bryce mm-hmm. McGowan's at 30, though. That's a name that I've kind of been intrigued with throughout the year. Talk a little bit about him.
So he kind of draws comparisons to the Cam Reddish for me.
Okay.
And I loved Cam Reddish. I loved him in 2019. So McGowan's is probably like the year away from actually being like the NBA guy. But for the Thunder, I mean, they have like 4,000 picks. Mm-hmm. So you could just draft him, send him down to the G League, and then just, you know, see if like something pops with him.
Kind of like a domestic draft and stash.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I gotcha. Well, hey, speaking of draft and stash, a name that's kind of been brought up a few times, Gabriel Procida. How do you feel about Procida?
I did not dig deep into the international A class.
That's fair.
So, I mean, I don't exactly have too much to say about him.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, there's a lot of people that say, you know, he's got a smooth stroke. He's athletic. You know, obviously he's long. I think he's like 6'8". I just like the idea of, you know, being able to draft a guy and, you know, continue to let him develop, but, you know, not on the Thunder, like, you know, don't let our team be too good this year, you know, while we're, you know, pursuing a guy like Wemby. So, yeah, that's kind of why I threw him out there. All right, man. If I were to ask you to give a bold prediction for the Thunder in this year's draft, what would it be?
I think the Thunder trade either the second pick or the 12th pick for a 2023 pick, along with the later pick in this draft.
Okay, so getting another bite of the apple for the Wimby Sweet Specs. I like it. Yeah, there's been some chatter amongst all of us about that too. My co-host Maddie Moles actually threw out the possibility, even before it was reported that there was a quote unquote deal already done with the Kings, that we could trade back with them for pick four and their unprotected pick for next year to, you know, try to have a better chance at Wimby. So I could
would you do that?
It's tough, man, because like, you know, we did this all for 2 years and we didn't get it last year. We were so mad about it. This year we got it, and to just kind of throw it away.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to trust the Presti. Like if we do it, like I understand the logic behind it, you know, maybe they're the guy that he has number one on his board, he thinks is going to fall to four. And, you know, you also get a swing at Wimby next year. So like, if that's the case, like, yeah, absolutely do it. But if you feel like your guy won't make it there, then it's super risky and it's going to be really hard to sell to fans. But
yeah,
like I said, you know, after about a day of like, you know, just like mourning, I'll be like, all right, I got you, Presti.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, all right, man, at this point, we're going to jump to our rapid fire. This is kind of how we closed out. It's just a little game. I like to play with the guests, kind of send out on a fun note. So, first thing I want to ask is overrated, underrated, or if you don't want to call somebody overrated, like a lot of people don't want to, just somebody lower on the consensus. So just give me somebody that you got higher than consensus and lower than consensus.
I would say the guy I am the higher on would be Jaden the Hardy. I have him sixth.
Yeah.
Okay. And the guy I am just not exactly understanding would be Shaedon Sharpe.
All right.
I think he is the closer to like 10 than he is top three.
All right. So hey, those are two very high profile names, you know. Jaden Hardy early in the year, Shaedon Sharpe towards the end of the year. I can understand why you have Sharp low, because, you know, we just haven't seen a lot of him. Like it's very much mystery. Why do you have Hardy so high? You know, I was listening to a Draft Deck and Albert Gim put out his big board with Corey, and I think he had Hardy at 8 and he was like, or 9. He's like, I'm the only guy that has Hardy top 10 left in the world. And Corey's like, well, you got Simon. He's like, Simon, shout out Simon. So why you got him at 6, man?
So Hardy was everybody thought he was like a top 3 pick before the season started. And I don't exactly get why people are dropping him for struggling against the grown adults in the G League.
Yeah.
And I still think he is the shot maker in this entire class. So, yeah, I don't know. So he started off struggling, and then the half of the season, he was up to like, I think it was like 20 points, 4 assists, 5 boards or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just like everybody's just ignoring that, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, it's like, you know, a lot of people want to point out to the Jekyll Hyde seasons of Usman Zhang and even Dyson Daniels and his shooting, but they don't want to acknowledge Jaden Hardy. So, yeah.
Yep.
I completely understand it, man. You think he's a guy that could fit on the Thunder?
I do think so if he was like 6'6".
Yeah, that's fair.
But he's 6'4-ish, 6'5". So, I mean, unless they trade SGA or Giddy, which they should not, or they just put him as the sixth man. But yeah. Other than that, I don't exactly see the fit very well, sadly.
Tell you what, man, putting Hardy and Mann out there on the, off the bench just bombs.
Oh my god,
that'd be so funny.
Oh my god, that'd be epic.
All right, man, I like it. So I got a biggest riser, biggest faller in the draft process.
So the biggest riser would probably be Ryan A. Rollins for me. I got him 19th.
Yeah.
And my biggest faller, man, that's tough. Probably, oh God, it would be JD Davison.
I
loved him. I loved him before the season started, but now he's like 6 foot even, I think he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just tough. That's tough.
It's weird he didn't play in the combine, right?
Yeah, that did not make any sense to me.
Yeah, I feel like he definitely could have helped his stock there, unless he plans on actually – I don't know if he's signed an agent or not, but unless he plans on pulling out and coming back, just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, man, superlatives here. So, best shooter in the draft class?
Jaden Hardy.
Okay. Best athlete in the draft class?
Jaden Ivey.
All right. We got a common denominator there. Best defender in the draft class. And this can mean perimeter all around, interior, whatever you want it to mean.
I would say probably it's between Chet and Jabari would be my two picks.
Okay. Deepest bag in the draft class.
Deepest bag. God, it's got to be either Turquavion.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jaden the Hardy for me.
Yeah, Turquavion Smith's another guy that's just kind of rocketed up draft boards after a really impressive combine as well.
Yeah, he's so small though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I watched the pro day video.
Yeah,
and I was like, Jesus, he is tiny.
It's crazy, man. He's got a flamethrower though.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Highest floor in the draft.
Jabari Smith.
Okay. Best passer.
Best passer. I think that Ty has the argument for being the passer in the draft.
I like it. See, I haven't got to, you know, flaunt it as much in this draft class because it's kind of been lackluster, but I'm a huge UK fan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ty, you know, a lot of people are really down on him and a lot of people question his ability to play point guard the next level. But, you know, the reason he didn't get to play point guard is because he was coming behind the guy that led the SEC in assists the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And the one game that he got to play point guard, 17 assists. So, like,
yeah. Come yeah, on, exactly. Man. Yeah.
I like it. Show some love for Ty people. Gosh.
Mm-hmm.
How high, where did you have Ty on your board again?
He was 15th.
Okay. I like it. Don't give up on Ty. I'm with you, Simon.
Never.
All right, man. So this is how we ended up, man, with the start bench cut section. You know, it's obviously a very popular topic on Twitter, basketball Twitter, all kinds of basketball conversations. But we're going to do it with the draft. So, this is my like veteran wing category. So we got Johnny Davis, Keegan Murray, and Ochai Agbaji.
Johnny Davis, Keegan, and Ochai.
Mm-hmm.
I would start Keegan. It's start bench cut, right?
Yes, sir.
I would start Keegan. I would bench Johnny, and I would sadly cut Ochai.
All right. Sorry I had to hurt you there. Start it off.
Yeah.
All right. We got our big bruiser wings here. So I got Tari Eason, EJ Liddell, and Jeremy Sochan.
I would cut EJ.
Okay.
I would probably, man, that's tough. I would probably bench Sohan and I would start Tari.
Okay. Not a lot of love for EJ Liddell then, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I like him, but it's just a 6'8" power forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really tough to really find a spot. And I think that everyone's getting spoiled by like the Grant on the Celtics.
Yeah, Grant Williams.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's just kind of really tough to have him.
I got you. This is my international prospects. So we got Ujman Zhang, Nikola Jovic, and Dyson Daniels.
I would start Dang. I would bench Daniels, and I would cut Jovic.
Okay. Well, Zhang love over Dyson Daniels. I like it.
Yep.
All right. This is our late round big man. So I got Christian Koloko, Cody Kessler, or Walker Kessler. I said Cody Kessler. What the heck is Cody Kessler? And Ismail Kamagate.
Cody was on the Browns, right?
That is right. The
QB. Yep.
Yeah, that is right. I pulled that somewhere.
I would cut Kessler. Who were the other two?
Kamagate and Christian Koloko.
I would start Koloko, bench the Kamagate, and I would cut Kessler.
Gotcha. Do you think that Koloko shooting's real? I know he tested really well in the 3-point star, and it looks like in his pro day here recently, he shot the nets on fire. So, like, do you think that's something that's going to translate? Or
I think that if he was the corner, the 3-point guy, that mm-hmm. would not like surprise me. But outside of that, I don't really see him hoisting up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if he can hit corner threes, I want to draft him at 30 or 34, honestly. Yeah. Like, he's huge and he's a great shot blocker. And I mean, if he shoot those corner threes, like I said, man, I'm committed to giving Shea and Giddy as much space as they can.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So this is my high upside wings here. So we got Shaedon Sharpe, AJ Griffin Jr., and Benedict Mathurin.
I would start AJ. I would bench Benedict, and I would cut Sharp.
All right. No love for Sharp. Shaedon Dole and Simon Rath size. So, all right, man. Hey, that's all we got. I appreciate you coming on. You know, it was a great conversation. Yeah, man,
thank you for having me.
And yeah,
it was fun.
Want to give you the floor here, man, to go ahead and plug away, you know, your website, your Twitter profile, anything you want to plug.
So you can follow me at Hawks Draft Nerd. And the website is crashinghoops.com. And then I am actually doing Hawks Draft, the profiles on Hawks, the collective Substack. Okay. So you can go find us there.
That is awesome, man. All right, man. Like I said, awesome having you on. I appreciate you taking the time on a Saturday to come on the podcast. And listeners, appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate your support. Hope you guys soaked up every bit of the draft knowledge you could right there. And hope you all have a great night. God bless. Hoop when you can. And as always, Thunder up!
Thank you for listening to the Top of Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.